Welcome to Sporadic Phantoms. My name is Robin.
And I'm Stevie.
So many people are relying on our investigation to stay informed and to stay safe.
But things are becoming more and more unpredictable.
In our last episode, we tried to follow up with Kyle's parents, but couldn't get through to them.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
We still don't know where they are, or if they're safe.
We did an initial investigation of the Green Wildlife Rehabilitation Clinic because we wanted to rule out any Share the Truth connections.
Is it closed? Is anyone here?
We're going to find out.
We ran into various individuals, like a guy walking away from the clinic in the dark.
Just dropped off my squirrel. About time that old girl got spayed.
Dr. Green's daughter and her friends hanging out in the barn.
Well, I'm not an employee. This is my dad's clinic, and everything's been normal.
Why are you asking so many questions, by the way?
And of course, Walter and Michelle Green.
Walter, is now really the time for this?
Michelle, they're investigating a crime.
I think I know why they're here.
Walter gave us a brief tour of parts of the clinic, and nothing appeared amiss, at least upon first glance.
That's it?
Robin, I'm not seeing much here.
Nothing fancy, but we do lock it up at night.
But it also seemed that the Greens didn't want us there, or to finish their tour. Not totally sure why.
If my family gets implicated in something because of your quote-unquote journalism, we're gonna have a problem.
We did discover that there was only one surveillance camera in the whole place. Luckily, we obtained some of the camera's footage.
We just need some video samples.
Oh no.
No? Why not, Cass?
Because it's, embarrassing.
Embarrassing? Why? What are you kids up to in there?
It's just for safety. That's okay, right?
And we took it back to the studio to analyze.
At the end of our initial visit to the Green Wildlife Rehabilitation Clinic, Walter,
the other Dr. Green,
was kind enough to send us video footage from the single camera they had, that we know of, which was in the barn where the Greens kept all the clinic's hospitalized animals. What we received was a series of small video clips from the last couple of hours around the time we visited. Just the moments the camera caught when it detected motion in the barn. It wasn't much, but hopefully it would be enough for our purposes.
Cassie, the Greens' daughter, was hesitant about us looking at the footage only at first, because it was quote-unquote embarrassing. But listen, you know that we'd never air something that was truly inappropriate or would put minors at risk. After all, you all know how much I cared about the well-being of kids in the sharing. It was a major drive behind a lot of my efforts in the investigation last season, actually, if you recall, if you've been following along. That hasn't changed, of course. As you heard in our previous episode, the entire Green family consented to giving us the videos.
And any footage, no matter what, no matter who is in it, could potentially be compromised and is worthy of investigation. Remember why we checked out the clinic and remember why we obtained the footage. We're looking for a hacker group. Yes. A very unconventional, animal-abusing, violent, and unpredictable group, but one that hides their true faces, both when they're attacking people and when they're cowering behind the safety of a screen. They're hackers first and foremost. So our agenda with analyzing the footage is specific and multifaceted. What's happening with the digital quality of the video? Are there signs of hacking or tampering? Do any of the animals appear to go missing or are moved from one area to another suddenly, as if there's been footage that has been cut out? And then, in the content of the footage, is there any unauthorized person or unauthorized animal in the barn?
Or are there any other kinds of strange changes or modifications or, you know, alterations or shifty behavior going on?
So, all this being said, we are airing the audio of the footage here, even if just for the sake of you all understanding why we've come to certain conclusions.
This month, at least at the time of this recording session, we haven't gotten too many voicemails of note, so we're going straight into what we recorded and discussed from that night.
After we left the clinic that night, we headed back to the studio to look through the video clips, starting chronologically from about 5:30 p.m. when the camera first caught some animal rustling around. Okay, 20 seconds recorded at 5:54 p.m.
There, pause. Who's that coming in?
It's Walter.
What's he doing?
Putting something in a cage. Oh, he's turning off the lights and leaving the room.
Okay, next.
Next is 15 seconds recorded at 6:27 p.m.
Anything here?
Nope. The deer is just moving again. This thing has night vision.
Then next.
6:48 p.m.
Here we go. Who's that?
They're coming in the dark, and the lights are...
And a what?
They switched the light back on. It's Dr. Green's daughter and her friends. Opening up their backpacks, taking out books, sitting on the hay, as we had seen them.
Does it catch what they're saying?
Nope. That's the end of the clip. It stops recording after they sit. Next.
Yeah.
But remember what we're looking for. 6:59.
Stop. What are they doing?
I don't...
Turn the volume up.
Let's do it.
What are they...
Come on, Cassie. Jake, hold my phone. 5, 6, 7, 8. Left snap, body roll, right hip, point, and arm down.
Oh my God, I'm not doing this right. Can we go back?
Okay, so from arms up, it's step, step, right, left snap, body roll, right hip, point, and arm dab.
Step, step.
What right, are they doing?
Left.
What are they talking about?
Sorry,
Robin,
I need to see you
scroll through. Whoa, what's going on there? Go back 10 seconds and play it.
We're recording it for real this time. But you need to actually jump and I catch you. Ready?
I'm going to fall flat on my face.
It's part of the challenge. It's easier than it looks.
For you?
I'll catch you. I do it in gymnastics all the time. It's like... Step, step, leap, catch. Okay, let's practice.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, and jump!
Ah! Oh my God!
Robin, they're making TikTok videos. They're a bunch of teenagers. This must be what Dr. Green's daughter was embarrassed about. She really can't dance.
Is there anything else here?
Two more clips. 7:35. Oh, it's when we walked in.
So the last clip is from when we were in the other part of the clinic. Something could have been happening then, right behind our backs.
Getting to it, 8:03 p.m. These kids are throwing hay at each other. Okay, that's it.
So,
if there's something going on here, we aren't seeing it from the content of these clips.
There could be missing footage. We've only seen a couple minutes over the last several hours.
I don't know. I watched Walter upload these files to our drive. There wouldn't have been time to delete anything. And I would have seen if he didn't select every bit of footage from this time span.
Sure, the truth could have been there the whole time. Or we could have just missed them. Why don't these people have more cameras?
That's a big security flaw for sure. I didn't notice any extra hidden cameras.
Why didn't Walter give us more footage?
Well, if he were to be in on it, or even if Share the Truth just has access to their camera footage, if we ask for any more of it now, then it'd absolutely be deleted or altered, so that's useless. We have to take what we can get. But also, I don't think Share the Truth was there when we were, at least not where we were looking.
Unless there's something off.
Such as?
Well, let's see. Is there any chance that any of this could be a distraction? Like we could be missing something else, right? Not just missing footage.
Like the kids are a distraction?
Maybe. Which could mean the Greens would have told the kids to be in the barn, to move around and have the camera capture them to distract us from something hidden there.
That's way overcomplicating it. And remember, we're not saying the Greens are directly involved.
So then, well, could any of what we just saw been altered?
Like deepfaked or something?
Maybe. Could any of it have been generated by AI? Share the Truth can probably hack cameras, sure. And we know they've deepfaked audio before. What about deepfaking video to avoid surveillance?
It'd have to be deepfaked on the spot. And that would require some incredibly sophisticated AI, like super AI.
We know they're capable of a lot, and we know that they've been getting away with a lot, and they haven't been caught, and all this time there haven't even been suspects. They've been avoiding surveillance for a long time. Is there any chance that Share the Truth could have their hands on that kind of technology?
No, I don't think that's what we're looking at here. That's a big stretch. It would be easier for them to delete certain moments.
You're right. So if it's not the footage, well, at least this footage, what is it? I still have a weird feeling. What are we missing? Oh, the clinic closed at 6.
What?
The clinic must have closed at 6. The last time Walter entered the barn was right before 6 p.m. He turned the lights off and left. He never enters it from then on until we get there. And the kids entered the barn and turned on the lights and started to do their homework at 6:48. And we saw the man walking down the road at around 7:30 or so. So that timing doesn't line up.
Walter did mention he can take emergencies. Maybe that's what it was.
To get a squirrel spayed? And he never entered the barn at all. No, something is not adding up. I'm sure of it. Who was that guy?
Robin, we're only looking at footage from one camera. Put on your investigator hat and use logic. He probably never entered the barn because he went directly into the clinic office. The point is, we have incomplete information.
I couldn't see his face, but I'm pretty sure he was wearing bike shorts.
And?
But he said he was catching an Uber, so where was his bike?
What does this have to do with anything?
It's just odd, don't you think? It's just another odd thing.
Okay, so does that tell you that he's part of Share the Truth? Is that what you want to hear?
You just said to put on my investigator hat, so here I am thinking of things that you're not even considering.
Well, we can only grasp at straws and analyze footage of some annoying kids doing TikTok dances and throwing hay at each other for so long before we totally lose track of what we're doing. Like, I don't know if we should put this in the podcast. This discussion is so ridiculous.
Oh, we'll put it in.
And are we going to suspect every person who brings in a sick pet?
Any one of them could be Share the Truth.
Face it, nothing in what we saw points to Share the Truth. But there is a big problem with what we're seeing here. What our listeners need to understand from all this is that, based on our preliminary investigation of the clinic, we have no solid reason at this point to suspect the Greens. But unfortunately, we've discovered some enormous security loopholes at their clinic. They only have one camera. It captures only intermittent footage. It could be hacked. Maybe even files can be deleted without Walter even realizing. As for their Wi-Fi connection, I think your weird feeling about the footage could be due to the small but detectable amount of stuttering we saw in the videos.
Right.
And they don't even lock the barn door.
They don't.
Look, I think it's pretty clear what we need to do. We can see if the sharing would be able to help reinforce the clinic's security system. Now, Share the Truth might be listening to us, so we don't need to go into specifics about it, but it's something we can look into. The sharing might want to help. If it can help the clinic and make it less of a target, then we wouldn't need to speculate about nonsense.
Oh, okay. I like your thinking.
Still, it's not to say that we're definitely going to find anything there. What we have here is vague at best.
But security first, right?
Right. But as for our investigation of the clinic, all we can really say is it's inconclusive.
We better find something soon. And a couple days later, I did find something.
Stevie, can you come to the studio now?
I was just at the studio on Thursday. You know the next time I'll be around is Sunday. We can record more tomorrow.
Let's meet sooner. Like, as soon as possible.
Why? Do we need to get to the clinic?
Did you look at the news article I sent you?
The link you sent? Not yet.
Just look at it.
What is this? Who is this guy? Why is this important?
Circumstances surrounding his death.
This happened yesterday?
I thought you would have heard about it through the grapevine. Or through the news.
So there was some interference.
You could say that. We should look into this guy. Because for some reason, no one else is. No one seems to think his circumstances are suspicious. We can still go through with helping the clinic, but I know there's got to be more here.
Sure. Who knows? It might even have something to do with your squirrel guy.
I'll give it a rest.
Sporadic Phantoms will continue after these messages.
I'm dying. The wound is fatal. But there is no time.
No time.
And now my son will never know that I'm his dad.
Oh! Don't let this happen to you. Get the GOAT! Get DeGroat! At the law offices of DeGroat & Associates, we deal with accidents, injuries, family reunification, last will and testament, family estate management, wrongful death, and other very complex family law matters.
I was involved in a car accident and lost all memory of my husband, except for a mysterious flash of blue.
Get DeGroat!
I called DeGroat & Associates and I received a settlement of $1 million. Thanks, DeGroat.
My poor teenage cousin is living a life on the streets. I just want to give him a home again.
Get DeGroat!
Thanks to DeGroat & Associates, I was able to contact my cousin and become his legal guardian. Thanks, DeGroat.
My long-lost father disappeared when I was a baby. My life hasn't exactly been easy ever since. But did he leave me any inheritance?
Get DeGroat!
My dad didn't leave me any money, but he turned out to be pretty cool anyway. Thanks, DeGroat!
At DeGroat & Associates, we're personally invested in your family matters. And when your family circumstances become dire, we'll fight for you. Don't settle for less than you deserve. Get the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Do not be afraid. You must tell your people to call the law offices of DeGroat & Associates.
Get DeGroat & Associates. What will your legacy be?
A frightening afternoon in Santa Barbara as a father and son were shot to death in their home in what police are calling a botched robbery attempt. Peter Sanders, a 42-year-old computer engineer, and his 15-year-old son, Marco Sanders, were killed in the living room of their suburban home in the San Pisco area of Santa Barbara yesterday afternoon. And with suspects still unidentified, neighbors are on edge.
They only moved here this past year, but we never had any issues with them. They were just perfectly pleasant neighbors. It's kind of scary something this serious can happen in this neighborhood.
His son was really annoying, but I mean, no one deserves to die like that.
We didn't hear gunshots or anything, but there was noise, like definitely some noise, I think.
You know, this could have been stopped by a good guy with a gun.
There were gunshots, many of them. It's
just a shame. My heart goes out to Nora. I can't imagine what she's going through. But luckily, she was able to find great support from a group called The Sharing.
Surviving the tragedy is Sanders' wife, Nora Robinette Sanders, who was not home at the time of the incident, but who called 911 later that afternoon when she arrived home and discovered the victims. She was unavailable to comment at this time. Police are reporting that security cameras at the house may not have been working at the time of the shooting. Local police still have no clues or leads, but an investigation is underway. And Santa Barbara's murder and missing persons rates have risen this year, according to recent studies.
We met in the studio. We had much to discuss. When I first heard this grisly story, I noticed some things that seemed off. Not only that incidents like this are extremely rare for the San Pisco neighborhood, but other things. A robbery happening in broad daylight is pretty unusual. No clues and no leads is unusual. Was anything even stolen?
None of these things necessarily mean it was share the truth, Robin.
Don't forget that, coincidentally or not, the security camera happened to not be working, therefore leaving no record of the crime.
Robin, I've been looking into the information surrounding this story in a little more detail, and, you know, this is the official story from the news. We don't want to distort it.
We won't be distorting it. We'll be adding on to it with what we discover. It's too good of an opportunity. I thought you were all about analyzing suspicious security cameras. This is perfect. Here's another one we can analyze. Are they even thinking the camera could have been hacked and remotely disabled? Probably not.
If there's already an investigation underway, if we show up, they're not going to let us get close to the scene.
They'll let reporters gather information. What are they going to do? Stop freedom of the press?
No, we aren't going to the crime scene. That's not our territory. We are not detectives.
I would imagine that finding out what led up to Sanders' murder would be important.
In reality, it is. I agree. But what do you think is going to happen if we get close enough and start bandying around claims in the podcast that aren't confirmed by the authorities? We have to be responsible with what we tell our listeners.
But don't you think that Sanders could be relevant?
I do think he could be relevant. I'm worried because, you know, Share the Truth is listening. And it seems like everywhere we go, Share the Truth follows. And another person goes missing. It could be us next. If we start cracking this story open, it feels like we'd be putting even more of a target on our backs. Do you think we have enough on Sanders to even justify investigating this story? From what we are only hearing from the news report, we might not have enough to go on.
You know there's something here that no one is talking about.
I just want us to be careful, really careful.
You're right. I'm all for being careful. But don't think I'm so naive. I already found something else that makes investigating him totally worth it. See, I already Googled the guy, Sanders. He didn't really have social media, but he did have a LinkedIn. Nothing so out of the ordinary, well, except it looks like there's a fairly large gap in employment, but I don't think that matters much. What matters is that Sanders was a computer engineer and software programmer working for a company called VistaSynth Labs, right? So I looked at this VistaSynth Labs. Now, what does this company do? VistaSynth Labs is one of the biggest names in advanced computing and data analysis. The company has been behind some of the landmark evolutions in mathematical computing. Okay, so what specifically? Artificial intelligence, computational biology, which means analyze, visualize, and model biological data and systems, okay? Machine learning, mechatronic system design, robotics, wireless communications, okay? Then, okay, client list. And boom, MatCom. Sure enough, look at the About Us, and Sanders sure was part of the team at VistaSynth that worked on a project for MatCom about 2 years ago. Stevie, he could have been murdered for what he knew. Maybe for what technology or software he had access to, he could have even been a hacker. Look, even if we don't investigate what happened to him, or the house camera, we can at least look into who this guy was. Who was he connected to? Because why would this computer guy with MatCom connections be murdered by so-called robbers on a Friday afternoon? Nothing was stolen from the house. There are no signs of forced entry. They killed his kid too because they wanted no witnesses. To a premeditated murder, not a botched robbery. This wasn't random, Stevie. After all, you asked if there could have been some interference. Share the truth, interference.
I shouldn't have said that.
But you acknowledged that there could have been.
Okay, but he's dead. So what else can we do? And what can we do about this that we'll be able to air to our listeners? Because, you know, share the truth is listening too.
Well, we might need to get a little more help in order to dig deeper. Dolan's really good at this stuff. We can use him. See, I've thought this over, believe it or not.
You've reached Richard Dolan, PCI, the private cult investigator with the sensitivity, the knowledge, and the eye. Leave a message describing your cult issues and entanglements, and I'll get back to you.
Richard, it's Robin. Stevie and I need to ask you a favor.
Dolan speaking.
Richard, we need you to find information on someone named Peter Sanders. Does that name sound familiar to you?
I've heard of him. So sad what happened. But, you know, they say it was just one of those freak occurrences.
Richard, I understand that there are not a lot of knowns surrounding Sanders' death, and though we don't know what those mysterious circumstances were exactly, we do know that Sanders was familiar with MatCom, and that means that he could have been murdered very probably for what he knew, or technology that he knew about, that someone may have coveted. Who knows?
So you're asking me to investigate while the police are already investigating. Why don't we leave this one to the boys in blue?
We get that, but we only want information on the man himself. Who he was, who he was connected to. You know, we know there's a MatCom connection. We know about projects he had been working on at his place of employment. Don't you think it's suspicious, Richard? You know, for some reason, the police seem to be ignoring the whole MatCom Share the Truth connection. Don't you feel like there could be more Share the Truth connections than they're telling us in the news? Or what's the reason why Share the Truth had to take such a drastic measure as to murder the man instead of trying to recruit him for his knowledge? You know, maybe they botched their initial recruitment attempt. Maybe Sanders tried to run, so they felt they needed to kill him because he knew too much. But if that is what happened, you have to ask, why did they fail to recruit this supposedly random man? You'd think it'd be easy enough if he was just some normal computer guy, but was Sanders just some normal guy? Or who was he? Who did he know, Richard? We'd like to know more. Maybe you can help us with that.
While this is intriguing, you must know that you're in proximity of something that could be highly dangerous. Dangerous for all of us. So, I'll help you again, but know that in doing so, you've also put me at risk. So let's just hope this lead is as promising as you say, and that you're very careful with how you deliver the findings, whatever they may be. Because if not, there could be a high price to pay.
Just a couple days later, Dolan said that he was ready to meet with us. So we met him this time at the Sharing in one of the spare offices.
Robin, Stevie, lovely to see you ladies again, although under somewhat inauspicious circumstances.
What, no snacks this time?
I have a couple of chocolate chip cookies left. Here.
Thanks.
Let's get down to business.
Have you found something?
Peter Sanders. Let's just call him Sanders, so as not to confuse him with our other Peter, Peter Stinton.
I have been. There's too many Peters in this story, I know. But I mean, we didn't know if we'd get this far, you know, into the story, so...
Right. So, Sanders, let's start from where we are now and trace backwards in time. Sanders and his teenage son were killed in their home at around 1 p.m. last Friday. They and his wife Nora lived in a decent, middle-class suburban home in the San Pisco neighborhood.
We know this.
He married Nora Robinette Sanders, a math teacher at Santa Barbara Middle School, just within the past year. We're a bit more familiar with Nora now, as she has just joined the Sharing after her husband's death, for their excellent grief counseling services.
So you spoke with her then?
Well, no, but not without trying on my part. She declined to speak with me. We can assume she's not in a place to speak about Sanders yet, having been recently made his widow and having gone through such a shocking tragedy, discovering the bodies and all.
That's understandable,
I guess.
So, let's go back. Before marrying Nora, and before moving into his new home in San Pisco, Sanders got a job as a programmer and engineer with Vista Synth Labs.
We know this too.
Did you know he had been living in San Pisco for the past year or so?
Is that relevant?
Before he and his son moved to San Pisco, they lived in a small two-bedroom apartment in East Junction.
East Junction?
Rough neighborhood.
So, well, that must have been when he was unemployed. There's a gap in his resume.
His resume does indeed list a gap. However, I discovered that it wasn't so much a gap as an omission. From 2017 until he was hired by Vista Synth in 2021, he worked on and off for a temp agency.
Okay.
Taking mostly part-time janitorial positions and the like.
Janitorial?
Generally for big box department stores.
How do you go from being a janitor straight to heading a dev team collaborating with MatCom? Did he go back to school or something? Who did he meet at that time?
No. We have to look further back.
Oh yeah, because he worked on computer stuff before that gap.
So, why the gap, right?
Right? But I assume that you're telling us this because it's leading somewhere relevant? But how do you know this anyway?
I spoke with one of his VistaSynth co-workers, who shall remain anonymous.
We could have done that.
But you would rather have me do it.
So what did they say?
Picture a broken man, down and out, working a part-time minimum wage job to try and support himself and his son, living in a run-down apartment on the wrong side of the tracks.
Not so far-fetched to imagine a situation like that these days.
Why do you think he was living that way?
He was divorced.
Not quite. A man who, before that, had a comparable engineering job with a different company. You see, this co-worker of his mentioned that Sanders' first wife died in 2017. So, Sanders was a grieving man, depressed and unable to hold an engineering job after his beloved wife passed away. And it was only after some time, and once he met his second wife, Nora, that he allowed himself to be happy again and get back on his feet. The really sad thing is, his co-worker mentioned that Sanders' first wife had died in a boating accident, of all things. lost at sea. Her body was never found.
Ooh, that is sad.
What else did he say about her?
His coworker didn't get into any of the details. Perhaps he simply didn't know anything else. Perhaps Sanders didn't talk too much about his ex-wife at work. Or perhaps, well, never mind. But it got me wondering. Even if it turned out that his dead ex-wife ultimately had nothing to do with Share the Truth, she was still relevant to the question, who was Sanders connected to? You know, on one hand, Robin, I have to give it to you. You might have just pointed to something significant here.
Yeah?
Oh, yes. See, I looked into Sanders' ex-wife via other methods. And, where did I put it? It's around here somewhere. Ah, here it is. She was quite a looker, huh? Well, aren't you going to say something?
Turn off the recorder, Robin.
No.
Then I can't do this.
Stevie! Where did you get this photo?
You know I have my ways. Is something wrong, Robin?
No.
Then why don't you describe her for your listeners? I'm sure they're very curious.
Did she know something?
Oh, do you recognize her? Well then, go on. Tell your listeners who she is. Because I'm not going to be the one to. I'm not the one who decided to follow this lead. I've just done your work for you.
She was a member of the Sharing.
Oh.
A prominent member of the Sharing.
Prominent. Indeed.
So that's the Share the Truth connection in all this. And she knew something about Share the Truth, and maybe she died because of it. Maybe they both did.
And now, what do you plan on doing with this information?
Stevie.
Hedrick.
Hello, Robin. Richard.
This Sanders incident.
Oh, she's informed me of the situation. Do you mind if I pull up a chair?
No.
Good. You're recording this, right?
Of course she is.
Then I'll be sure to be very clear for the sake of those listening. I understand you're emphasizing transparency this season.
That's right.
Then, here we are. Sharing members talking transparently about your investigation. Robin, this new development Stevie just told me about is interesting. Very interesting.
Richard's discovered a connection between a prominent former member of the Sharing and Share the Truth.
And this connection is?
Sanders was married to Eva.
And you believe that Sanders was affiliated with Share the Truth?
Hedrick, he must have been.
And you know for a fact that Sanders was killed by Share the Truth?
He must have been.
Because?
There are too many clues pointing in that direction.
Hmm. Well, this is all very compelling guesswork.
Guesswork?
But we all know that sporadic phantoms wouldn't want to build their investigation off of speculations that aren't proven. We're on the same page about that?
Of course.
And we all know that Peter Stenton is a rational man. And if there's anything Peter Stenton wouldn't appreciate, it's dealing in speculations with a lack of evidence, especially when the speculations involve a former member of the Sharing who has a long and storied history with our organization. He wouldn't like that at all.
Hedrick, this is it. Share the Truth came for Sanders. You know what Share the Truth did here. Why would they do that? Why would they come for this man, this fairly average man, unless they knew him and he knew them? And you know what this all means, that she was in the mix, that she knows who they are.
Knew.
Knew. She knew that they were...
Whatever she may have known, if anything, she's sadly taken it to her grave. So whatever you were about to say, it was again a speculation. Let me ask you something. How do you think it would go for you if you brought this to Stinton?
Stinton doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yet. And you're very lucky for that.
He cares about our results. We follow this lead, we'll get the results.
Okay, but whatever's broadcasted here will eventually reach him. And he has a big stake in your success and the triumph of the sharing over Share the Truth.
But you know that we aren't beholden to the sharing. You know that we're independent and unbiased.
Of course, you've made that clear. But being the professional journalist that you are, I know that part of your code of ethics is to be careful about over-speculating.
Right. Of course.
So, if you say that, for example, this former sharing member knew something about Share the Truth, you'd better be absolutely certain of it. After all, remember that part of this phase of your investigation is about fixing your mistakes from last season. To inform your listeners about the very public threat of Share the Truth and the injustices done against the sharing. Stinton's counting on you for that. We all are.
We are. That's our job.
And I'm sure your listeners appreciate what a wonderful job you've been doing. But as verifying these new speculations falls outside the scope of your job, we'll be dealing with this particular lead internally from here on out.
Internally?
You wouldn't want to mistakenly misrepresent the sharing again, would you? For credibility's sake, for both you and for the sharing, you need proof. Cold, hard proof. That's the only thing Stinton would come close to accepting. And of course, sporadic phantoms won't be able to obtain that.
And all of a sudden you will? I mean, no one else in the sharing has even made this connection. Did no one else know this information? Did no one know that this Sanders guy was married to her? And don't you think that Sanders should have, joined the sharing a long time ago? What with his wife being such a prominent full member? Doesn't that seem like a plot hole or a huge oversight or something? But he was never made a full member for all this time. How did no one think that he could have been a target? Or did you all know who he was connected to, but were too afraid to say something?
Just listen to what he's saying. You know, he's right.
His widow did not even come to us with this information.
I'd like to think she has a good reason for that.
Let me put this another way. The only possibility of moving forward in a positive way with this information is to obtain forensic, incontrovertible proof first.
So... what, suddenly the police are going to help you?
As I said, it will be done internally, independently. But this is potentially a very good thing, Robin. And Stevie, thank you for bringing this to my attention. Because now, I suspect we'll be able to give the green light to allocate more of the sharing's resources towards the development of state-of-the-art forensic technology to help the investigation along.
Oh?
But, in order to do that, you know Stinton will need to know why, and agree to it. And not only should you not continue to speculate about this in your podcast, but you will not be the ones to bring this to Stinton. I'll take that upon myself, for your sake. And Richard, I'd like to talk with you more specifically about next steps.
Certainly.
Why him? Why not us?
Robin, you're walking a very dangerous line by going down this path. This information just needs to be handled with a more... delicate touch.
I'm delicate? Are we not delicate? Stevie, are we not delicate?
But I get it. You're young. Ambitious. You do a great job with informing your listeners about the dangers of Share the Truth. We'll take this off your hands for now, so you can focus on that. And don't worry about investigating the gardens either.
So, where are we supposed to look now?
I'm sure you'll keep finding things. Maybe, go back to that animal clinic. Maybe dust off an old lead.
Old lead?
Just be more cautious with how you deal with it. Please.
Wouldn't want to lose your head.
That concludes Sporadic Phantoms Episode 15, The Proximity, Part 2. Tune in next month for Episode 16.
In our next episode, it looks like we might need to try to follow something new.
While our colleagues help from behind the scenes.
Maybe we'll revisit the clinic.
Or maybe there's some other loose thread we can pick up.
Special thanks to K.A. Applegate, Aubrey Akers, Julie Becker, Zoe Michelle Bradshaw, Aaron Culpepper, Betsy Gagne, Kendall King, Danielle Lincoln, Amber Mastrobatista, Ryan Murphy, Isaiah Rothstein, Abby Savoy, Taylor Schmidt, Mick Wheaton, and Nate Varnado. Oh, and we were told to mention to everyone, especially those local to Santa Barbara, that The Sharing is planning a community health day, where there will be free health screenings, community resources, raffles, and they'll be giving flu shots and updated COVID boosters. So it's all about promoting healthy habits and inspiring positive lifestyle changes. So check The Sharing's events calendar for updates on that.
If you'd like to support our investigation, visit our Patreon or our Ko-fi page, or check out our merch on Redbubble. If you have any relevant tips or leads for us to look into, call the Sporadic Phantoms Missing Persons Hotline at 805-364-2251 or email us at sporadicphantoms@gmail.com. If you'd like to engage with us and other listeners, you can tweet at us or join our Discord server. All these links and recent updates to the Sporadic Phantoms dossier can be found on our website, sporadicphantoms.com.
I don't appreciate being cut off when we're in proximity of something big. I have confidence in our journalistic capabilities, and our enthusiastic listenership gives credence to that. But if they say they can get proof, then I guess all the better for the investigation, right? You know, this means we're getting closer. I knew I was onto something. And it means that they're taking these findings, speculations, pretty seriously. It also shows that we have backup. Actually, scores of people are helping us get closer to our final goal. Yeah, even you.